Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good morning on this soon-to-be very cold day. How you doing, Lee?
Doing okay. I'm not too cold yet, but it's going to get there.
Well, you know me, I'm prepared.
Yes.
Yeah. I went flannel this morning.
That's what I was going to say, sporting the flannel.
I know. I look like I could go out with a woodchuck and chuck wood
yes,
this morning.
Yes, you could.
So I am ready. I am comfortable. Leggings and flannel, here we go. All right. Speaking of here we go. Rush Limbaugh warned, and I thought this was such a brilliant way to put it yesterday, that we're in for a Kavanaugh-style week here, full of lies, smears not based on facts, smears based on lies, smears in total contradiction of the facts. It's just going to be a free-for-all, if you will, with this shampeachment. And I wanted to point something out, because this dawned on me yesterday. Where we are right now, okay, and I had to write it out on several stickies to keep to keep this straight in my mind.
Yeah.
Okay, this whole thing started because of the whistleblower, right?
Right.
Eric Charmel. So here's the thing. The original whistleblower complaint said two things that were flat out lies. The first was that Eric Charmella had first-hand knowledge, which is what's required by federal law to be a whistleblower. First-hand knowledge. You could change the form all you like, but that doesn't change the law. So Eric Charmella lied in two places. He said he had first-hand knowledge, and then there was the original complaint. And the complaint was that President Trump, on a call, it's very specific, on a call to Ukraine, with Ukraine officials, had threaten them with a quid pro quo. We're going to take your money, you know, the money you want to get in foreign aid if you don't investigate my, you know, my campaign opponent there, Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Both of those things are flat wrong. He did not have firsthand knowledge. He had secondhand knowledge. And none of those things were said in that phone call. So, that came out, and Trump didn't immediately release the transcript, remember? So we had, like, I don't remember, it's like about a week and a half there of, you know, oh, no, and total belief in what the whistleblower was saying, no one questioning, hey, maybe this is a lie. He is deep state after all, and all they do is lie. We're gonna believe it. So now it's been totally debunked. He had secondhand knowledge, not firsthand knowledge, which is how he got it plumb wrong. There was no order of quid pro quo. There were no threats of removing the funding on the phone call. So at that point, they had nothing. This should have died right there when the whistleblower's, you know, version of the story was completely and utterly debunked. But no, first we went through these phases. It was bribery. Well, it wasn't bribery. It was quid pro quo. Then Adam Schiff says, well, no, you know, we may not have quid pro quo. Remember I played you that audio? Maybe it might not be quid pro quo. We don't need quid pro quo. What we have here is then they moved to obstruction of justice. Then they dropped obstruction of justice and went back to quid pro quo. Then they dropped quid pro quo for a while and went to abuse of power. And now they're kind of back and forth between abuse of power and quid pro quo. Again, all of this on a debunked, flat out wrong whistleblower report. And so, I mean, I am waiting for the clip where the audio clip, because I haven't seen it yet, where the Democrats specify specifically what is the fact, the specific fact we are impeaching Donald Trump for. If you listen to them, well, it's a violation of the Constitution. What is? Well, you know, the abuse of power. What abuse of power? So give me specifically why we are having these sham impeachment hearings. We can't even call it impeachment because it's a fake impeachment until they vote anyway to impeach. So, Lee, I don't know. I mean, I literally cannot tell you. And I got several texts to this, you know, point on Friday and Monday. What part of this are we impeaching him for? I don't know. Yes, left now. You listen to CNN, MSNBC. I've got a lot of clips from yesterday. Well, you know, Rudy Giuliani, man, he was in there and he was putting some pressure on some people. Rudy Giuliani is Trump's lawyer. Well, so?
Yeah.
Pressure do what? What specifically? What specifically did somebody do? What thing are we impeaching him for? There has to be a fact here, don't you think?
No, eventually, yes.
Yes, eventually, but what we have right now is nothing. We have nothing. And until they can find somebody who's a Ukraine official who says, yes, we were pressured. Yes, he said they'd keep the money if we didn't go after Joe. They have nothing. But we're going to go pretend they have something for a week while they attempt to confuse everybody.
Damn. And Rush is right. This is just it's the Kavanaugh model all over again.
Yeah, it just makes sense.
That's the one thing about Democrats. They're consistent in their tactics, you know, because it looks like right now that their mistakes of the 2016 election are going to be followed in the 2020 elections.
Yeah. So what we don't know is, you know, will it work? Will confuse people enough? So far, no. Trump at a 50% approval rating, 3 points higher than Barack Obama at this point, and Obama wasn't being impeached at the time. It's incredibly frustrating. And I think one thing is emerging here, and this is coming from Lindsey Graham, it's coming from Devin Nunes, it's coming from everybody, and that's this. Listen, you better you better drag that whistleblower into the light of day, and let's answer some questions. Let's answer some questions about whether Schiff coached him.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But here's the thing. If Schiff coached him, his whistleblower complaint was a complete lie.
Yeah.
Let's put this all together. The whistleblower said the quid pro quo, the threat of taking the foreign aid was in the phone call. What did Schiff do? He read a fake transcript of the phone call that he wrote, not the real one, into the congressional record, got busted on it, and then said, oh, that was parody.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, was the whistleblower's original complaint parody? Because it was a lie, too. I mean, these are the questions that would be asked, and without this whistleblower, we can't know the answer.
Well, I think what's going to be interesting is if Democrats have confidence that this is going to be a positive outcome and they can take and that they feel like that they're going to be able to actually get Trump thrown out of office through the impeachment process in the Senate, then this thing's going to drag on into next year right before the election. And if not, then they'll probably wrap it up before the end of the year so that they can go on to the next attack.
Yes, the next fake attack. Because it's all about feelings, not facts.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, all about opinions. There's nothing but opinions here that are being expressed. There's no facts of any actionable evidence of anything done wrong. It's just opinions.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Did you see what is going on in San Francisco? Wow. And I'm going to get to the whistleblower in a minute. This is, we did a little bit of this yesterday. There's this guy by the name of Chesa Boudin. And his parents are famous. They're terrorists. His father's serving a 75-year sentence, killing two police officers. They were ultra-liberal, weather underground terrorists, communists, actually. So when Bowdoin's mom and dad went to prison for the murder of the two police officers and a security guard in a bank robbery that they were doing to get the funds to fund their terrorist acts, they were mounting a coup on the United States of America. But then how's that different from most Democrats these days? He's 14 months old when his parents go to prison for the murders of the two cops and the security guard, right? So guess who raises him? Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, the weather underground terrorists who were unindicted. The same terrorist, by the way, in whose living room Barack Obama's political career was launched. His name's Chesa Bowdoin. So he's raised as a communist, no surprise there. Raises a communist. So what does he do? He wants to go live in a worker's paradise, right? That's what communists like to do. It's going to be awesome to live there. So he moves to Venezuela. Moves to Venezuela. And he very quickly uses his political connections to get himself a sweet gig. He's the chief propagandist for Hugo Chavez. Sounds like a bad guy, right? The kind of guy we wouldn't want to let into the country. Well, he's a U.S. citizen, so we have to. Well, in the middle of all this, he ends up going to law school in the U.S., so he is a lawyer. Then he goes to hang out with Chavez in Venezuela, and he's one of the chief propagandists for Chavez. Now, do you remember me telling the story of how they took the guns in Venezuela? And they took the guns on a very similar platform to the one the Democrats are using here. We need this for safety. You need to take the guns for safety because we got to get them out of the hands of criminals. It's going to totally reduce crime. Well, of course, that didn't happen in Venezuela after they took the guns. Crime went through the roof. It took about 3 years in between the time they took the guns in Venezuela and the government redistributed that to party members in good standing. And do you remember why they began to redistribute the guns to party members in good standing? It was because people were beginning to rebel. This would be like, folks, if the Democrats disarmed us and then said, you know what, these freedom lovers are getting too ruling in the streets. We're going to arm Antifa to put it down. These were Antifa-like groups, socialist, loyalist young men. They were called the Colectivos. Remember I've talked to you about them before? The Colectivos in Venezuela. And I talked to you about them under the framework of guns and why you don't ever give up your guns to a government promising to protect you. And again, it took 3 years before they began redistributing the guns. They handed out hundreds of thousands of guns to loyalists. They increased the speed at which they did it in the last few years because, you know, by then people were desperate in the streets. I mean, it wasn't even political anymore. They were just starving. And they were knocking over food trucks. They were robbing food trucks. They had to. They were breaking into zoos and eating the zoo animals, that sort of thing. So they would send the Colectivos out to put them down. Colectivos were your neighbors, maybe your friends, your family members. They just come shoot you. They had the absolute authority to shoot whoever they wanted. In fact, the New York Times documented how they kidnapped thousands of Venezuelans who were considered political enemies of the state. This has just been the last couple of years. And executed many of them in front of their families. That's what the Colectivos did. This guy, Chesa Bowdoin, that I'm telling you about, was a member of the Colectivos. He is pictured with a large gun strapped to him. The Colectivos would go and, you know, there'd be peaceful crowds of people, you know, who were demonstrating in Venezuela, right? Just for peace. They just want to be free. Which is a universal human right. The Colectivos would gun them down. Chesa Bowdoin, you think we let him into the country? Well, we have to. He's an American citizen. But I mean, like, somebody like Chesa Bowdoin, a terrorist, a thug for Hugo Chavez, if not an actual murderer himself, a person who ran around with this group, the Colectivos, who were executing people. Chesa Bowdoin is now the district attorney for San Francisco. He was elected last week, on Saturday, actually. I'm going to let you process that for a minute. Hugo Chavez's chief propagandist, a guerrilla thug, a member of a guerrilla terrorist group that shot and killed Venezuelans who were starving, who rioted, and who fought the regime. There's pictures of him with his with other members of the colectivas. He's very open about his membership. It's not a secret. They elected him. He won San Francisco's district attorney race. What did he run on? Closing the jails. This is becoming a theme, is it not? I've been documenting this. Joe Biden proposed it. Well, we're not going to send you to jail anymore for low-level offenses. Oh, and by the way, yeah, no bonds either. We'll just give you a little ticket, tell you to show up. By the way, it's a misdemeanor if you don't, so just don't bother. But yeah, go get yourself another flat screen. This is where we're going, folks. This is where we're going. Oh, at one of his rallies, his supporters chanted, F the police. F the police, which is pretty much his platform. Oh, he is a cop-hating socialist, by the way. That's by his own admission. You know, folks, there was a time when the Democrat Party, if this kind of person were elected, they would condemn, right? They'd have condemned him in the primary, and then they'd have condemned him in the general, and then they'd have just condemned him and disavowed. Not a word. They're fine. This is mainstream now, folks. Not one condemnation. I don't get this. And half of you will be with me on this. Half of people listen to music while they work, according to a new study. It's good for their productivity. Researchers found people finished a task about 3 minutes faster when they were listening to music than when they weren't. I can't do that. It slows me down, distracts me. Anyway, they claim it's because it affects mood and mental and physical performance. Music can function as a sort of white noise, canceling out potentially distracting ambient noise. No, the music is the distraction to me. I can't do it. But I guess half of people can, so more power to you. I wish I could. I love music. All right. I don't love this whistleblower. What? Somebody on the text line saying, Tara, stop calling him a whistleblower. You're right. He's not. He's a hack. And we're seeing why. We're seeing why they don't want him to testify right now. Two things. The New York Times, and I can't believe they did this, but they did. New York Times just reported that Joe Biden's own staff thought the Ukrainian gas company Burisma paying Hunter Biden $83,000 a month while his father was vice president was unseemly or worse. Then Biden's own staff made State Department officials help them do damage control because they anticipated this would be bad, and it was. It ended up in Peter Schweitzer's New York Times bestselling book. But we don't want to talk about that, right? Are you sure we don't talk about that? What does it mean? We got to call in everybody Trump's ever known. And actually, Trump doesn't know most of the people testifying. Never met him. Most of them. And ask their opinion on stuff Trump was doing. Why don't we call in all of Biden's staffers and ask their opinion on what Biden was doing? How about why did you contact the State Department to figure out how to deal with the fallout from this? Hunter Biden's activities, this is New York Times, Hunter Biden's activities struck many of the officials working on Ukraine policy as an unnecessary distraction or worse. Mr. Biden's own aides were worried about the optics. So they enlisted State Department officials to gather facts to determine how to handle the story. Yet few, if any, had raised the issue with Mr. Biden directly when it first arose. Most viewed the revelation as simply not worth risking a scolding from Mr. Biden, who had reacted angrily when Mr. Obama's aides raised the issue of his son's lobbying during the 2008 campaign. Now, at this point, Hunter Biden had already been paid $3 million by Burisma. Then there's this from John Solomon at The Hill. You're beginning to see what the whistleblower's deal is with all this. There was a meeting in January 2016 between Ukraine. This is where they cannot put this whistleblower on the stand. He will be destroyed. There was a meeting. This is according to The Hill, John Solomon in The Hill. There was a January 19, 2016 meeting between Ukraine officials and Obama officials at the White House about Burisma. So it wasn't just Joe flying over to Ukraine with Eric Charmella in tow on the plane because they hang out, their buds. Eric Charmella is, of course, the whistleblower. No, 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 it's worse. It involves Obama officials as well. So January 19, 2016, there's a meeting between Ukraine officials and Obama officials at the White House. This is according to Solomon's source, Andrei Telesenko. So we actually have a named source here. He's a political officer in the Ukraine embassy. The meeting involved Burisma, a Ukrainian energy company, Solomon reports. At the time, Burisma was paying then Vice President Joe Biden's son, Hunter, as both a board member and a consultant. Again, he had already received more than $3 million from Ukraine. According to the source, Telesenko, a person you will not see mainstream media pursue, interview, or even mention. According to Telesenko, U.S. officials told the Ukrainians they want. So keep in mind, this is not just Joe Biden now. This is Obama officials at the White House. Told the Ukrainians they'd prefer that Ukraine drop the Burisma probe and let the FBI take over. Yes, what you do when you want to bury something that's, you know, bad for Hillary or Obama or Biden. They go to the FBI, goes in and cleans it up. So they want Ukraine to drop it and the FBI to take over? Wow. The Ukrainians refused. But then Joe Biden, this is, I'm reading again from The Hill, John Solomon. But then Joe Biden pressured Ukraine President Petro Poroshenko to fire Ukraine's chief prosecutor in March of 2016, 2 months after the meeting. The Burisma case was then transferred to NABU and then shut down. So that meeting where the Obama people specifically pressured Ukraine to shut down the Burisma investigation. That was January 19th, 2016. January 19th, 2016. Who hosted that meeting where Ukraine officials were pressured to shut down the Burisma investigation? Well, it says who hosted it right there on the White House visitors log. The whistleblower, Eric Charmella. So this dude's not just blowing the whistle on a supposed quid pro quo by Trump, didn't just lie in his whistleblower form twice on the two most critical parts of it. One, did you have firsthand knowledge? He checked the box. He did. He lied. Two, he said in the phone call there was a quid pro quo pressure that Trump threatened to take away the money in exchange for, you know, either I'm going to take away the money, you're going to investigate Biden. Both those things were a lie. And now we found out Eric Charmella, the whistleblower, was running a meeting where the Obama officials pressured Ukraine to drop the investigation into Burisma and install the FBI to investigate it instead. So this is not a neutral source, is it? Now, again, that's when Eric Charmella wasn't working for John Brennan, who very likely is the target of the criminal probe being done by our attorney general. That's when Eric Charmella wasn't writing anti-Trump speeches for Susan Rice, Obama official Susan Rice. That's when Eric Charmella wasn't Joe Biden's guest of honor at the State Department dinner. That's when Eric Charmella was not flying on Air Force One with Joe Biden. Does this sound fair to you? How would this look to the citizens of the United States of America if they could see it on camera? You could destroy this guy in 10 minutes. That's why they're hiding him. This whole thing is a farce, and that's why we call it shampeachment. Texter writes they should impeach Biden instead of Trump. Now, the texter writes you need to lay off a Hunter Biden. His work in Ukraine. Cocaine habits are expensive. Let's jump on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, I hope to goodness that POTUS Trump is engaged in quid pro quo on behalf of the American people. It is well past the hour when we dole out millions and billions with nothing in return. Another texter writes, if a tipster tells the cops about a meth house, The cops raid it and find meth everywhere. Later, they find out the tipster was biased against the meth house owner. Do you drop all charges? Good question. Good question. Well, we're going to have a trial. Suppose the tipster's a meth dealer. Suppose the tipster is jealous because the house the cops raided is owned by a guy who stole his girlfriend. Maybe they're rival drug dealers. Maybe he planted the evidence. But you know what we do to sort that out in America? Think about it. You've seen this before. You've ever watched a court and, you know, courtroom dramas, a ton of those. We have a trial. And the defense can call people. The defense has access to everything the prosecution has. The defense can question how it is, before we even get to the trial, that the cops secured the warrant to raid the house. Spent years of my life sitting in criminal court, so I know this as a young reporter. I can't tell you how many times I cringed because a judge threw a warrant out, threw evidence out, validated stuff on guys you knew were bad, and other guys you had no idea. On technicalities. We do it all the time in America. That's what happens in America, because you can confront your accuser unless your name is Donald J. Trump, then you don't get to. So in answer to your question, if a tipster tells the cops about a meth house, the cops raid it and find meth everywhere. Later they find out the tipster was biased against the meth house owner. Do you drop the charges? Yeah, maybe. It just depends. It depends on the circumstances around the warrant. But the flaw in what you're saying here is the part where they find meth everywhere. They've got nothing on Donald J. Trump. They've got nothing. Here, I'll let former Harvard law professor Alan Dershowitz explain.
Congress is not above the law. They keep saying the president is not above the law. That's right. Congress is not above the law. They can't make it up as they go along. They can't make up crimes. We've had people saying, oh, disclosing the name of the whistleblower would be a crime. No, it's not. Obstruction of justice. That's not a crime. Collusion. That's not a crime. The phone call. That's not a crime. You can't just make it up. To have a crime, you have to find something in the statute book that existed before the actions took place and that was clear and unequivocal. It's just not there.
No, it's not. Okay, so now we have the whistleblower, Eric Ciarmella, running the January 19, 2016 meeting in which Obama officials pressured Ukraine officials to drop the Burisma investigation. They wanted to send the FBI in there to investigate it. We all know how that would have gone. It would have gotten buried, just like they did for Hillary. Eric Ciarmella is running this thing, running the pressure operation on Ukraine officials, and we don't want to talk to him? You don't think he's got reason for that fake whistleblower report he filed? I mean, whoa. Here's Dershowitz again.
I don't know what's in the second transcript, but there are two issues. What happened on those phone calls, and is there any possibility that there is an impeachable offense? Let's get to the second one first. The answer is no. There is no possibility. Take the worst case scenario. The president abused his foreign policy power to gain political advantage. How many presidents have done that over time? It's not among the listed impeachable offenses. It's not a crime. It's not any kind of a crime. It may be a political sin. That's a good reason for deciding who to vote for. But it's not a good reason for removing a duly elected president. The framers had a debate about this, and they rejected the concept of maladministration as a ground for impeachment. You need to show bribery, treason, or high crimes and misdemeanors. And even in the worst case scenario by the phone call, it's not there.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.